Namo Gaurakishwaraya, Bhaktavadutamurtye, Gaurangri Padma Bringaya, Radha Bhavani Shevini. So there Srila Guru Maharaj uses the word avadut. Which is a reference to what may be considered pure or impure. In the case of Gaurakishwardas Babaji Maharaj, why he's using this is to point out such souls, they may seem externally to be associated with impurity, but it does not affect their position. In fact, for our section, it may give contrast to the level of their purity, if we are to use such a word. And as an avadut, he contradicts the stereotypes there, what is pure and impure, or what is... he contradicts the stereotype of what may be commonly held as the ideal of a spiritually realized soul. So the people in general will not appreciate that. Just as Sukadeva Goswami, when he arrives on the scene where Parikshit Maharaj and Sukartal on the banks of the Jamuna and the assemblage of so many sages who fit the stereotype of what people conceive of as spiritually advanced, realized souls. They're all assembled there, giving advice to him. He's in his final days, final 7 days, what he should do in his remaining time. What type of spiritual culture. And upon that scene, Sukadeva Goswami arrives, and we're told he appeared like a 16-year-old boy, naked, like a mad urchin. The local children are throwing things at him, calling him names. But when he enters, those sages being expert in the art of physiognomy can see, even in his visible form, divine indications. So they rise and offer him the presidential seat, although he's the most junior in the assembly. But because they're not addicted to stereotype, they can recognize in his visible expression divine indications, and also he is somewhat legendary. So in a similar way, Gaurakishwardas Babaji Maharaj, just as Guru Maharaj related once that some children are pelting him with dirt and other things, calling him abusive names. And Gaurakishwardas Babaji Maharaj's response is that he's speaking to Krishna and saying that these are your agents. Whatever's happening here locally, really, in the background, it's you. you, Krishna, are abusing me in this way. He said, and I know how to deal with you by promptly reporting you to Mother Yashoda, and she will deal with you, whatever punishment is necessary. That's the way to handle you. So it gives us some insight into Babaji Maharaj's spiritual depth, which is corroborated in the Bhagavatam. The sloka, tatenu kampam susamikshamano bunjan evatmak vipakam, that whatever's happening locally from a relative point of view, a spiritually progressive, advanced person will trace it to from the point of view of absolute consideration. So locally, relatively, what's going on may be objectionable, but they look beyond the superficial to see what's deep in the background. And Guru Maharaj will say, we see the friendly hand of Krishna behind all events. Bhoktaram yagyatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam. He's the dearmost friend of everyone, and he has everyone's interest at heart. And this way they'll make some adjustment. So repeatedly in the life and pastimes of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, we see this type of spiritual culture and depth. When as a guest of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, sometimes we hear that what used to be an outhouse was converted into some, you know, temporary residence for him. And when people asked him, how can you tolerate the lingering stench, right? Because that's the lowest thing in normally among people, you know, that odor, then, and some, I mean, it was covered over, made somewhat suitable, but there's some, you could say, lingering stench. And they said, Babaji Maharaj, how can you tolerate that? And his response was to say, you who live in the, you know, in the Maya Sangsar, mundane association, you think, and which brings you in close connection with materialists or people who have no spiritual conception or culture, kam, krodh, lobha, matsarja, etc. That's their mentality. You think, how can you tolerate the stench of their mentality? This is an external thing. But that, it's worse on account of it's subtle. As Guru Maharaj once said, that upasiddhanta, things that are not only against proper siddhantic conclusions, but maybe being presented as siddhanta. It's called upasiddhanta. It's actually against Krishna culture. Guru Maharaj said, this strikes at the spinal cord of the thinking man, spiritually adept person. So we find, for example, in the case of Mahaprabhu, although Rupa Goswami has identified him as the Mahavananaya avatar, There is no one more merciful than he, and he has descended to forgive all the offenses and rescue all the fallen souls. So how generous his outlook must be. But Swarup Damodar, his secretary, prevents any Upasiddhanta from reaching his ear. Why? Because that will make him angry. That someone did some abominable material things or is engaged, abhishayi and sense enjoyment or mundane culture. That's not a disturbance to him. That's a given. But Upasiddhanta, this most magnanimous, munificent incarnation, that he can't tolerate. And what is the word used there? It says, it makes him angry. So Guru Maharaj says, Upasiddhanta strikes the spinal cord of the thinking man, the thinking man of substance. And we hear the famous poet Kalidas somehow conscripted to become a palkin, a palanquin bearer, right? You have like 4 or 6 men, they carry someone, and while they're going along, it's the rod, it's digging into his skin on his shoulder. He's not accustomed to doing this. And it breaks the skin, it starts bleeding. But he's not saying anything. But at some point, the king or the higher person who's above, he's full of himself and feeling some inspiration, he starts to compose some poetry. And when he's composing this poetry, then Kalidas starts going, "Oh God, I can't take it. Stop, stop, I can't go on. This is too much for me to bear." And they approach him, they see the bleeding shoulder, the raw skin, they go, this is intolerable to you? And he said, "No, that I can tolerate." He said, "But his abuse of language, that is intolerable to me. I can't bear it. It's too much." And then they say, "Oh, you palki bearer, you have..." And then they discover he is arguably the greatest poet of India of all time. So then his real self comes out. So Babaji Maharaj can tolerate the stench, the lingering stench of the former outhouse, but he can't tolerate the stench of the mundane mentality. The more subtle something is, the more unbearable it is to him. We hear that... like in India, we still see they have Bhagavat Saptah, a 7-day reading of the Bhagavatam, or they read the Ramayana. You see some men with harmoniums and they sing a few slokas, then they talk, and then they sing and they talk. They give these recitations, usually funded by wealthy grihasthas trying to accumulate punya or nullify the effects of impending karmic reactions. So Prabhupada used to rail against us because it'd say Bhagavat Sapta, 7 days. It says in the Bhagavat, Nityam Bhagavata Seva. Bhagavat Seva should be Nityam, always, not 7 days or 6 times a day or once on Sunday. Bhajan Twananya Manaso, 24-hour non-stop. That's the target. But they do these things for a living. So they go around and give recitations. And one such man, he wanted to add Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj's name to his resume. Right? So you can see in his LinkedIn profile, spoke Bhagavatam before Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, available. You know. And Babaji Maharaj is trying to avoid this. Mainly, these divine souls are, they're so absorbed in the inner world, they give very little consideration to what's going on externally. So it has to be something really objectionable to them to get them riled, so to speak. But Babaji Maharaj is trying to avoid, somehow he was forced into a situation and he could not escape, and that this man would speak Bhagavatam before him. But we're told that at the end, then the man left, you know, and all the assembled listeners, they looked at Babaji Maharaj like, "So, what did you think of that Bhagavatam?" He said, "You heard Bhagavatam? Yeah, he just spoke the Bhagavatam, you know, extensively. You heard Bhagavatam?" He said, "I didn't hear Bhagavatam. All I heard was money, money, money." So sometimes Prabhupada would say, he said, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj was a very humorous fellow. But he has a peculiar sense of humor. Don't think that, like, we see these pictures and they're lost, that, you know, that Raghunath Das Goswami doesn't have a sense of humor. Yeah, he has a great sense of humor. They all do. It's part of their personality profile, so to speak. So very simply, he's making a comment. And then, shockingly, he says, "Actually, get some cow dung and some cow urine and cleanse this place." As if, like, you know, a slaughter just took place. And I've seen it. When I first went to India, visiting this mridanga maker, Satish Chandra, and he lived like in a hut with a earthen floor. It was actually very nice. And the earthen floor, it's like raised, it's very cool. They know how to deal with the situation. And then with the thatched hut, there's a way that they're actually cool. By the way they use the floor, the thatched hut, certain things. Kus. And his wife, sometimes when I was visiting him and watching him make mridangas or put on the finishing touches, his wife would come in with like some, like a cloth like this, or some muslin cloth, and some fresh cow dung would be in there. Couple of kilos of it wrapped in this one, and she'd be spreading it around the floor, like to clean the floor. The floor was swept of debris, but then to like purify it, she would take the cloth and then rub it all over the area, so it'd be like pukka. Okay. So Babaji Maharaj said, "Get some cow dung and cow urine so we can purify this place." This is peculiar. Because we hear in the Bhagavatam and the commentaries of the great acharyas that wherever the Bhagavatam is spoken, that place becomes purified. It's purifying to the speaker, who's the agent of representation, to the audience, to the inquirer. So they're saying, it's all auspicious. And it purifies the very place in which that divine transaction occurs. So being that apparently that just happened, why is Gaurakishor Das Babaji Maharaj saying, get cow dung and get, we got to clean the area. Because, as we hear from Rupa Goswami, Anya Bilashita Shunyam, Jnana Karmadyanavritam Anukulyena Krishnanushilanam Bhakti Rutama. For something to qualify as bhakti, what to speak of, Uttama Bhakti, Bhakti Rutama. Then, Anya Bilashita Shunyam, Jnana Karmadyanav, it cannot be covered with layers of karma or gyan that points to motive and what we call ulterior motive. Right? So we're told pure devotion can have no ulterior motive, that you're doing something that's ostensibly devotional, but you have another, some ulterior motive for doing that. So, generally, that's dismissed. We might say through analysis, you know, karma misra bhakti, jnana misra bhakti, but it doesn't qualify it as shuddha bhakti, pure devotion, what to speak of uttama bhakti, the highest type of pure devotion. So, who can tolerate the lingering stench of a former outhouse cannot tolerate this. This is foul to him, distasteful, odious. Right. Right. That man, he's using the Bhagavatam to make a living, right, to earn some money. So that means that although the words, it may be the literal words of the Bhagavatam, it's going in some other direction. So rather the inverse is the case. The place is impure, the listeners have been contaminated, and the speaker is criminal. All in the name of Bhagavatam or Krishna consciousness. Right? The whole thing's polluted. That's what Gaurakishor Das Babaji Maharaj is showing us. It's not that this is just some sort of erratic, eccentric behavior. He's forever true, true north, true to his purpose. And Upasiddhanta strikes the spinal cord of the thinking man. This he can't tolerate. Sanatan Goswami Prabhu, a Vaishnava Mukodgirnam Putam Harikatam Ritam Swavanam Naiva Kartavyam Sarpu Chistam Yatapayo. It's amazing how these sweet, generous, loving devotees, when it comes to these things, how brutal they are. And terse and damning when it comes to these things. Otherwise, they're jolly, friendly. Don't mess with Siddhanta, with devotion. They can tolerate so many other things. So what does Sanatana Goswami say? His example. To show Babaji Maharaj is in his line. They are aligned Siddhantically, ontologically. He says that Harikatha, like Saraswati Thakur says, the only famine in the world is Harikatha. Everything else is man-made, artificial, and ultimately tolerable. This is the only famine that I recognize. There's a shortage of Harikatha, Krishna Katha. So then we say, well, the more the merrier. Right? Can't be against that, can you? Well, no, Sanat, you have to listen to the entirety of what he's saying. Saying, although it may ostensibly be Harikatha, like, and I should preface this by saying, no less than the Braja Gopis say, this is the cure-all for bhava rog, material existence, material suffering, all suffering. All suffering is on account of separation from Krishna. In one group, forgetfulness, another group, remembrance. They say, tavakatam ritam tapta jivanam kavibir iditam kalmasya apaham. Srimadatatam, Sravanamangalam Srimadatatam Bhuvi Grinantite Buridajana. They're saying the your topics of you, Harikatha, Krishna Katha, weren't they? They're life, they give us life. They're the beginning of, they introduce auspiciousness into that life. They're the ultimate wealth that one could hope to achieve. And those who are giving this, distributing this in the world, are the real benefactors, humanitarians, altruists. That's the opinions of the Braja Gopis. It's in the Gopi Gita. And Sanatana Goswami is saying, however, if that so-called Harikatha, Krishna Katha, is comes from the mouth, mind, etc. Mouth is connected to the mind of a Vaishnava, means someone who's not a Vaishnava, not a Krishna-loving person. Okay. They have some ulterior motive. Prabhupada would rail against Dr. Radhakrishnan, the devotees in the beginning were so, you can either say, foolish, or as Gurudev would say, double entendre, you know, simple-hearted Vaishnavas. When he went away, he comes back, see, they're reading Dr. Radhakrishnan's Bhagavad Gita for class, because his wasn't published yet. I mean, on one hand, you could, but that's how clueless they were. And then, you know, the former president of India, you know, all of this stuff. And one line in there, Krishna says, Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame boishasi yuktam de. There appears twice. But, become my devotee, worship me. You know, man mana, always think of me. Mad bhakta, become my devotee. Manaskuru, offer obeisance, you know, to me. Bow down to me. And I had heard Prabhupada say this, but I thought, like, I was at an Indian book fair and I saw a copy. And I thought, I just got to see if it literally what it says there. And it says, after this verse, you know, it's all like, to me, mom, me, mudbuck, my devotee. And the first line he says, it is not to the person Krishna to whom we are to give ourselves up to utterly, but the unborn, impersonal, who's speaking through Krishna. I thought, Prabhupada was right. This used to just set Prabhupada off. Like he, up a siddhanta, strikes the spinal cord of the thinking man. He couldn't tolerate hearing this Mayavadi nonsense. But what is he doing? Using Gita, the book that's revered all over the world, including Emerson, Thoreau, you know, etc. Using Krishna, and then Mayavadi Bhasya Shuni Lai Hoi Sarvanash, Mahaprabhu says. You hear Mayavadi commentary? You're ruined. Mahaprabhu says that. The most generous, forgiving, magnanimous, you're ruined. if you hear this. So, Sanatan Goswami, what is the example he gives? He says, it's like milk touched by the lips of a serpent. And, you know, for many years, sometimes, you know, I would look around and see, like, now we have Google. Yeah. And within the last few months, I saw this story of this Nepali woman. She, a cow milk bag was infected with the venom of like a cobra or something. And then she fed this milk to her baby, and the baby died. Right. So what is he saying? It looks like milk, tastes like milk, as far as you know, but it's full of poison. That's what he's saying. So even though it's in the name of Krishna and Krishna Bhajan, it's poison. It's a poisonous substance. What does Bhaktivinoda Thakur say in the Chaitanya Shikshamritam with regard to metaphorical interpretations of the demon killing in the pastimes of Krishna? Even the sequence is significant. Who is the first? Putana. How does she come? Right? She's this buxom, beautiful young girl who is, can nurse babies. So Yashoda and Rohini, they're talking, they see her and they think, oh, a wet nurse. You know, go, oh, the baby's in the nursery. You know. And she enters. Krishna knows everything. And what is, you know, she pushes her nipple into his mouth, he starts sucking and sucks the milk. She had adorned her breast with poison. This is her way of killing Krishna. But he sucked the poison, the breast milk, and her pran, her life air. And so what does Bhaktivinoda Thakur say? Putana represents the false guru. The demons killed by Krishna, the sadhaka has to deal with. The demons killed by Balaram, guru. Here, he's saying, you have to make it past the false guru. And how's the false guru? Looks like a guru, talks like a guru, walks like a guru, dresses like a guru. Right? Is talking about nectarine things, is ostensibly distributing nectarine substance. It's all nectar, Prabhu. Right? And it's infused with poison. So the very thing that's supposed to be life-giving, jivanam, is killing, it's killing your soul, atmaha, in the words of the Upanishad. Soul killing is going on. So Krishna consciousness is serious business if ever there was serious business. This is the standard of Gorkhashordas Babaji Maharaj, accept no substitute. And as referenced in Sanatan Goswami Prabhu, an imitationism. These are the great enemy, the, you know, Mayavad, imitationism, sahajiya, counterfeit, emotion. Often, neophytes, they observe Vaishnavara Kriya Mudra Vigyehana Bujoy. They observe higher Vaishnavas from an external point of view and then want to mime them, imitate them. So one such man, he sees Babaji Maharaj, we're told, you know, sometimes living in a hut, in the banks of the Ganga, staying in the hut, taking Krishna Nam. Sometimes some ecstatic symptoms are coming to him. Wailing is heard. This man, he constructs a hut on the bank of the Ganga, enters that hut, is imitating the behavior of Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. He's taking Krishna Nam all day and following everything very strictly. Like Gurudev would say of him, yeah, I hear he's practicing Krishna consciousness very nicely. So this man, he's practicing Krishna consciousness very nicely in his hut. And then sometimes virtual ecstatic symptoms. Right? Auto-tune ecstatic symptoms. And the people come to Babaji Maharaj and say, what do you think about that, Babaji Maharaj? Is there something real going on inside there? And again, as Prabhupada said, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj was a very humorous fellow. And he said, if a woman enters a labor room, that means the room where you give birth to babies, right? He said, and she starts moaning and groaning and breathing very heavy, and he said, does she produce a baby? And as Guru Maharaj once said, other activities must have taken place before that. So just, what a perfect example. It's the right room, and she's doing all, you can watch it in a film, right? Those actresses, they'll say, oh, I went to the birthing center, and, if they didn't have experience themselves, and watched women, various women giving birth, and, part of my performance was based upon that, or I had three children, and, so he's saying, imitation does not produce substance. Very simple. Emerson, the American transcendentalist, he went so far as to say, imitation is suicide. That'll get your attention. Imitation is suicide. And had to think about this. Because what is suicide in this context means killing yourself. So in other words, imitating someone else is, in a sense, killing yourself. It's not giving your actual self a chance. It would be better to be your own self on a beginner's level. That's the point. It would be better to be yourself at the beginner's level, and instead of making an imitative approximation of the whole or the goal or the final, start as a beginner and with something simple and then build upon that. What Srila Guru Maharaj calls modest, natural growth. And a quote that's often attributed to Oscar Wilde, but apocryphal perhaps, but is very Wildean, the way it sounds, is the saying, be yourself, everyone else is already taken. So better to be on, if it's yourself, on a beginner's level, be honest and engage in modest natural growth, then make some big show of nothing. Another Babaji Maharaj quote about when they asked about something, he said, this won't be the first time, talking about people ascending, you know, these people are like, well, I'm reading Jivadharma and seeing where I'm at, you know. I think you're in the wrong book, but I don't know, you're on the copyright page or, you know. anyway, he said, this won't be the first time we see that someone, to the marvel of everyone, ascends very high on a tower and everyone's looking up in amazement, and then they pass stool from such a great height. Gaura Kishordas Balaji Maharaj was a very humorous fellow. Prabhupada liked this verse in the Bhagavatam. What is it? I have to think. It's about manoratin dasa bhavato bahi yasyasti bhagavati kenshana sabai gunais tatra samasatera harava bhaktasya kuto mahaguna manoratin asato bhavato bahi manorata. It's an interesting word. Means the mental chariot, the chariot of the mind. There's no sub. You're going on a joy ride on the chariot of the mind. There's nothing there, or it's air bhajan. You understand? Like air guitar. You're not really playing it. You know, it's air. This is air bhajan. There's nothing there. There's no substance there. So. And you know, a small following would sometimes track him down somewhere in Navadip or at Bhaktivinod, and maybe some regulars. Then it came to his attention that one such person was going to get married. And it reminds me of the time Gurudev, Srila Govinda Maharaj, got an email from someone in a country I'm not going to name because they might be able to identify who. But well, I'll say this. It was an Indian living outside of India, but not where you think. And anyway, he wrote to him, and they're reading it to Guru, and he said, and these are his exact words. He could have used other words, an afterthought, but his exact words were, he said, you'll be very excited to know that I'm getting married this weekend. And Gurudev said with his characteristic deadpan, the excitement is in him, not me. Srila Govinda Maharaj was a very humorous fellow. That true words were never spoken. Saraswati, the goddess Saraswati, spoke through him. So they tell Babaji Maharaj that such and such person is, you know, going to get married. Any advice for him? And, you know, when it comes to marital advice, so many things might come to mind, but not what was said by Gaura Kishordas Babaji Maharaj. Forever an original. He said, oh, my advice to him is that he should dress and decorate his wife as a gopi. And we have to think, like, you mean some kind of like Sahajiya thing? No. He said, dress her and decorate her as a gopi. He said, so that will check any enjoying spirit in him, because he will, seeing her, he will remember that the gopis are exclusively for Krishna's enjoyment. And when I say the Bhakta Avadhuta Murtiye, there was a Western scholar who did research on all of these alleged Siddha Purushas, Mahatmas populating West Bengal and maybe East Bengal too. And but what was noteworthy is that she said, and she was aware that all these different people that she did some research on, they have a group of followers or supporters and an equal, if not greater, number of detractors. Who, in other words, who say, no, the guy's just totally bogus, it's all nonsense. She knew that. Like, they have some really hardcore, diehard followers, and then you got another group of people saying it's just nonsense. But this is interesting. She said, however, she said, there is this one who, there's unanimous agreement that he's the real thing. There are no detractors. She found that peculiar. She said, his name is Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Like, she stumbled upon this truth inadvertently. She thought, that's really interesting. Of all of them, he's the only one who has no detractors. What does that tell you? And just to relate, what she gave as one example of his divine pastimes back in the outhouse, that you remember, he would be there taking Krishna Nam, and the legend is that afterwards people observed that the bricks were vibrating Krishna Nam. So if we think, what is his potency? It's one thing to convert the animated to Krishna consciousness. Then again, it's another thing to convert the inanimate, not only to make what appears to be unconscious imbued with consciousness, but with Krishna consciousness. Andantarastam paramanu chayantarastam. Because everything, sarvakata, is there in a state of Saraswati Thakur said abeyance, I believe the word, meaning it's in a, what's the right word? An undeveloped state. What is the other word for that? Anyway, can't think of the right synonym. But so to bring out not only consciousness from the inanimate, but full expression of Krishna consciousness. Then we can understand, we get hints of how extraordinary he is. Because we might think, on the one hand, what is the use of such persons in this world? If they're just so deeply absorbed in the inner world and oblivious to the external world and practically inaccessible, unapproachable. What's the point? But when I ask Guru Maharaj once, you could say, foolishly, offensively, but thinking out loud when I should have kept my mind shut, and said, what was his contribution? Because we're talking about Shiksha Guru Parampara. I said, well, what was his contribution to the Sampradaya? And without missing a beat, Guru Maharaj said, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Oh, right. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, on the advice of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who approached the lotus feet of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, and because he is a very humorous fellow, he said that he would have to ask Mahaprabhu for permission. Saraswati Thakur returned after a fortnight, and Babaji Maharaj said, oh, I forgot to ask. And Guru Maharaj said, why? Saraswati Thakur later was saying, he had this reputation, and it's not just a reputation, it's backed by substance. He's the greatest philosopher, scholar, pundit, what does it mean, devotee. There is. So why would that person approach someone who was functionally illiterate to become his guru? Is it some kind of a joke or a farce? The great scholar will approach the illiterate Babaji and ask for initiation. So Saraswati Thakur said, and Babaji Maharaj said, oh, I forgot to ask. Dishonai, whatever repute you have in the mandir, it's meaningless, it's nothing, and if anything, it's not good for you. And don't think that that means you're, from that point of view, significant to me. It has no significance to me whatsoever. Because when we say, oh, don't, you know, that'll be great for your prestige to have such a great scholar become your disciple. Not Babaji Maharaj. Oh, I forgot. Slipped my mind, you know, I have my mind on other things. Gaurangri Padma Bringaya Radha Bhavani Shevane. Forgot to ask about this matter, trivial matter, your case, to check. And this is their play. Their play. And of course, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj accepted Srila Saraswati Thakur. And Srila Guru Maharaj composed the line in his happy birthday song to Saraswati Thakur. Braja Dham, Braja Dham, Braja Kanana, Gauri Ma Guna, something. Haribasana, wait, let's say. Guna Manjari Gauri Ma, Guna Manjari Gauri Ma, Kamala Priya Nayanam, Haribasana Nayanam, Braja Kanana, Bahumanana. I forget the line, but saying, Kamala Priyanayanam Gunamanjari Gorima Guna Haribasana Vayanam. That there is a kunja in the upper world. Like we say, Jayarada Madhava Kunja Bihari, Krishna's the Kunja Bihari. So, and the gopis and their groups, they live in different kunjas. And there's a head gopi in this kunj and a head gopi in that one. And they're all under the guidance of Srimati Radharani. So Gurumayur said, there is this one kunja. And who's the Yudhishthira, the leader there? Kamala Manjari. That means Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Like 13, 14-year-old gopi girl form. And in her kunja, there's Guna Manjari, who's Gorkhashordas Babaji Maharaj, and Nayanamani Manjari, who's Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he says in this song that Nayanamani Manjari likes to sing the glories of Guna Manjari. But showing also Guru Maharaj's the beauty of his poetic skill. Those glories, or they can be called qualities. The word for quality is guna. So his name is Guna Manjari. But to sing the qualities would be to sing the gunas of guna. And another meaning of guna is rope. So he's saying, Nayanamani Manjari likes to sing the gunas of guna, sing the praises of Guna Manjari. And they're so beautiful, one after another, after another, after another, that they form chinmoy ropes. And Krishna is hearing this, and he comes to that kunja, and with the chinmoy ropes of the qualities, divine qualities of Guna Manjari, Krishna's captured and bound. So who can write that? As entrance into that domain, who can give that sort of substantial appreciation for such a personality? And although generally inaccessible, we see that Srila Guru Maharaj, he is somehow making accessible to us the glories of Srila Gorkhashordas Babaji Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Srila Gorkhashordas Babaji Maharaj, Tirubha Mahamahotsavatiti Ki Jai.